Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program is brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheese that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Good morning, this is Gregory Blaze. I'm recording for Cutting the Curd live at the Opus Cassius Breakfast at Casa Lula, a decidedly mellow morning, as I've been informed by...
Gratefully mellow.
Yeah, I've been informed by my friend Sue Sturman, who's here with me, that it was a heavy night of fancy food show.
Parties!
Yeah, chaos, good times.
Yeah.
You were mentioning... You're at the Guild
the Guild induction at the French Cheese Board event.
Yeah. And that was a great one, huh?
That was fun. Yeah, there were a lot of people there. And François Robin, who's the mayor of Veille de France that works closely with us at Mons, he did this incredible cheese carving display ladder thing, very American themed.
Fantastic.
It's really beautiful.
You showed me some of the shots of... Julie showed me a shot of the mimolette, and I love that. I love the sculptures.
It's hard to sculpt a mimolette.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard cheese.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He should be by at some point later today.
Yeah, that's amazing.
He should be coming by. So that's nice.
Well, it's good to have you here. And
always good to be with Cutting the Curd.
Yeah, fantastic. Maybe you can tell me what's been going on in your world.
Oh, lots of travel, lots of courses in France.
Yeah.
In the last year, we've added Yvon Larcher to our sort of stable of superstars teaching. So his courses that he runs in France for cheese making are under our umbrella. He does them at his farm. He's got a small herd of Jersey cows.
Great.
And he's got two levels of cheese making courses. So he's got his cheese making 101, which is sort of it's a week-long survey course. And hey, Russell. Sorry, just saying hi to an alum who's just arrived.
I'll let you go soon. I just wanted
to. No, it's great. And then he's got a 201 level course, which is a deeper dive, and we give it 3 times a year, and each time it's a different pair of cheeses. So it's lactics and tums, soft ripe and washed and bloomy rinds, and blues and semi-cooked. So that's pretty exciting. And then coming up in September... we are doing Essential Foundation. We're doing with the cluster of 4 courses, but right smack dab in the middle, we're taking everybody to Bra, which is going to be very cool.
I hope I make it there this year. we're slated to open a store right in that same weekend. I'm trying to figure out how to be in 2 places at once, because I really want to be there.
Bra is great.
Yeah.
Bra is fun.
But I miss French cheese. Just hearing you talk makes me a little wistful for the wonderful French cheese.
Yeah.
I'm lucky enough to have a little bit of a... Loire River Valley cheese here in front of me. Savor it, you know.
It's great.
That's great. So you've been you had mentioned before you've been traveling a lot.
So we do the courses 3 times a year in France, the cluster of courses.
Yeah.
And I have just a few weeks ago I did our Life of Cheese in 4 days up at Jasper Hill.
Yeah.
Which was great as usual. And coming up in the fall I've got Cheese in London, an insider's tour, which is a fabulous tour for cheese professionals of going to Neil's Yard Dairy and a bunch
of the classic stops.
Classic stops, and we spend a day in Somerset. So we go to Montgomery's, we go to Westlake Cheese, and Westcombe Cheddar, and we go to White Lake, which is way more modern. So we kind of span several centuries of cheese making in a single day in Somerset, which is really fun.
I was able to talk with some of the Neil's Yard guys earlier on Saturday.
Yeah.
And they're always fantastic.
Yeah,
London's a great town for cheese.
Yep. It's a great town for cheese. They've got really, really interesting shops.
Yeah.
And it's a fabulous city.
The stores in general there are fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, and down in the Charing Cross, where all the bookstores are, and Charing Cross.
Charing Cross Road,
I love, there's some... just some cool shops I used to browse in there when I haven't been to London straight away in my goodness, it's been like 16 years.
No. Wow. Oh, it's changed a lot.
That is a total lie.
You've been
there
more recently.
I worked there in 2006.
Okay.
On the shot anyway.
Yeah.
The food when I went there in general when I was there in 1995. To what it is now, it's like unrecognizable.
The food scene is really cool in London.
Yeah.
And so it's one of my favorite programs. It's a bit of a sleeper program, but it's a great program.
Well, it also, in terms of travel for cheese, you probably get a layer of chaperoning you don't need to do because of the language barrier.
I know.
There.
It's much easier, It's the getting around,
seriously.
Which is harder. But
people understand the language that they're... You know?
Yeah. It's easier when it's not constant translation.
100%.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And actually, maybe have a beer. You know?
Yeah, lots of beers.
Yeah.
Even.
That's the culture.
It is.
I really enjoyed my time there on every level.
Yeah.
I always did.
The people are great. I love the people in London too.
Yeah.
They've been staying strong through all of these silliness that's happening there.
Yeah, I talked to Jason Hines. We talked about when I talked to him on Saturday about the dangers of open air markets, big place. That's a real thing.
You know, it's a real thing everywhere. Sad,
I know.
Sad to say, it kind of feels like we're living in the dark ages again.
It's
but
tough.
You know, London's no more dangerous than New York or Boston, where I live.
No, it's really scary.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm also used to it in a way. I remember when. You know, back in 2003, when we were jacked up, with the paranoia here was higher then than it is now.
Yeah.
And I remember working at Artisanal, and the clientele, there was a bunch of the UN people in there.
Yeah.
And we got asked, you know, counterterrorism was in there. Like, they were. It was, you know, something you deal with.
But, you know... I travel an awful lot. I feel completely safe in London. I feel completely safe in Paris.
If you like to travel, you're going to go where you're going to go.
Yeah.
The first time I was ever in Paris, 1995, all the trash cans were nailed shut. My subway line was bombed like twice while I was there.
Yeah.
And we were there on a program and like... our solution was to take the midnight train from Paris to Amsterdam and get as stoned as we possibly could, go back to our place where we stayed. I was like, you gotta get out of here, man. It's fucking crazy. But I came right back, and I was like, to Paris. What the hell are you going to do? You're not going to go there.
Yeah. I was living in Paris then.
Oh, man.
So I remember it. I remember it very well.
I miss my French travel quite a bit. I haven't been there. I was younger, crazier then.
Hi, Sue.
I have this good
friend. Well, you're interviewing, excuse me.
Yeah, man. So.
Drop by Benton Brown.
Yeah, man.
And then in February we have a program in Paris too.
Yeah.
Our cheesemongers from Paris.
Where are you?
We go to all the great shops.
Yeah.
And this year we're going to be going on a tour of Rungis. We're going to be judging cheese at the Concours Général Agricole. We're going to have VIP passes to the Salon du Fromage. It's a great program. And then we spend a day out in on the countryside in Sancerre. We go to a PDO Cotin Chavignol goat cheesemaker, and we go to the farm there, and then we also go to a wonderful vineyard, Henri Bourgeois.
That's
because, you know, you got to go to France and do wine a little bit, even if it's a cheese program.
Those are the best trips.
So, yeah, it's a great, great program. And there's a new La Laiterie de Paris, which is an urban, the first urban cheesemaker in Paris is opening.
Where?
It's going to be up in the Goutte d'Or in the north of Paris in the 18th or 19th arrondissement. So it's
the only food
exciting.
Processing, or like the only sort of urban stuff I saw when I was there in '99 was in Perfit, the Trojan, that there's smokehouses out there. There's crazy old buildings out there. And it was, you know, it was decidedly like a fantasy I thought I was in.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, this is not real. But it was a. It was an interesting field. You know, all food and all the retail shops in Paris are magical. You know,
they are. And it's great to see so much. Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
And their way of displaying cheese is so gorgeous.
Fantastic.
And, you know, every shop is like a jewel shop, which is really nice.
You learned a lot there.
Yes. It's a difference. Different mentality about case setting.
I was looking back at some old photographs, and I knew an afternoon from there that set up our digital, Philippe Alios.
Okay.
I came across a picture of him.
Yeah.
And I remember he was the first person who I learned, I gleaned some knowledge off of when we opened up the artisanal cheese.
Great.
And those were good caves. Like, and I learned from him. I learned what I did, like, that I, whatever I thought I knew, I didn't know shit. But it helped me figure out some things about, like, cheese care and maturation.
Yeah.
And I think he has a couple shops in Paris.
I think he does, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to be teaching our affinage course in our new caves, because we've just, Hervé and Laurent have just completely redesigned and rebuilt the caves in Saint-Anne-Château, which is where the courses take place.
Yeah.
And the affinage course, you know, we get to work in the caves, hands-on. And these caves are state-of-the-art. They're incredible. They're beautiful. And it's really exciting, because in that course, we actually, Mons has three different sites that we age cheese. One is the caves, the new caves, Saint-Anne-Château. Then we've got the tunnel, the Tunnel de la Collonge, which is a repurposed railway tunnel.
Yeah.
And then we have a purpose-built cave in geographic zone of Saint-Nectaire in the Auvergne. We spend a day during that course, actually. Following the life of a Saint-Nectaire cheese from the farm through the affinage.
That's awesome. That's great.
Fabulous, yeah.
Anytime you give people that kind of access, they're just so happy.
And it, you know, it contextualizes the theory that you do in the classroom.
Sure.
You know, to do the theory and then actually do the work that the theory's talking about and seeing it in practice, it's that combination of hands-on and theoretical that really makes everything come home and makes things real and immediate.
Yeah, in retail jobs, the way people learn is by doing, and most helpful thing that you can show somebody that they won't learn on their own is someone else's story.
Yeah, and we do a lot of seeing, you know, so in the affinage course, we see a lot of affinage facilities, and then in the retailing course, Essential Foundations for Cheese Professionals, we go to a bunch of cheese shops. We actually open up and we do the opening setup for one
that's
of Laurent's shops. Yeah.
Just learning how to
set the case.
It's the most important job. It always will. It's always a job I try to keep for myself. It's the best job. That's helpful work. Anytime you bring that to the table for cheesemongers.
Yeah. And it's great to learn. You know, everybody has to learn on the job. Because you've got to learn how your shop does it and how your boss wants you to do it, or figure out, if you're the boss, how to do it. But the thing about taking a course is that you get the theory behind it as well.
And you get some structure.
And you get some structure, and it's sort of, it's a jump start.
Your free time.
You know, a week of courses is not going to make you into a cheese professional.
No, no.
But it will set you on the path and orient you the proper way. And the hands-on makes a huge difference. Huge difference.
Behind the counter of someone's store.
Yeah.
And they allow you that kind of access.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to take, there's so many rules now in terms of, like, when you work for a larger operator, like, I used to take free labor all the time.
Yeah.
were like, what can I do? I was like, oh, you want to hang out? Yeah. Break down boxes?
Free labor doesn't work so well anymore. But,
yeah, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
People always did that.
Yeah. I get constant calls from people.
People who worked in the kitchen.
Yeah.
The kitchens would come and just hang out with you.
Right.
Just be around the stuff.
Yeah. People are constantly calling me and saying, hey, you know, I know you're connected in France. Can, you know, I want to go over to France for a few weeks. Can you set me up with an internship at a cheesemaker? It's like, no, it doesn't work that way anymore. That's not how the world works.
No.
Do you speak French? Well, you know, no. It's like, okay, well, the French cheesemakers don't speak English.
A lot of paperwork.
There's a lot of liability. There's a lot of, you know, and so...
You know,
that's what we try to offer,
right?
Because we now have a small creamery as well at Mons. So in our cheese mongering course, Essential Foundations, we actually get to spend an afternoon in the creamery with the cheesemaker.
Yep.
So, you know, it,
it's good access.
It's good access. Yeah. You know, so it's what you can do.
Yeah,
you know, because we've got our HACCP plans well in place. We, you know, make sure that everybody knows all of our protocols and respects them, and, you know, so we can do it upright.
Yeah. That's great.
Well, that's cool.
Thanks so much for giving me a little bit of your time this morning.
You're welcome. I love talking about what I do.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you're here. Thanks for co-sponsoring this fun breakfast. More and more of my alumni are coming in.
Yep. Low-key, I think you can shake some booze out of them.
Yeah, it's sort of a morning after party.
Thanks, Sue.
See ya.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Heritage_Radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Aweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.